has been here before as a representative of Gideon's and their ministry, and he's going to come, and he's brought some guests with him. And I'm going to be honest with you, I love this gentleman's name. It's Rufus. And, you know, whenever somebody has a name that is a little different, like Sirigliano, I kind of really attach there. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what God is doing in their lives and in their ministry. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Apple if he would please come and share with us what God has laid on his heart tonight. God bless you, Bob.
This says on. Oh, I guess it is. I'm on now. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Are we on then?
Pastor Lynn, do you still give free Bible lessons?
Do I still give free Bible lessons?
Yes.
Okay,
great. I'm glad you answered in the positive there. The reason I asked that question, what happened down in Peru, a young man was in college, and the Gideons were there that day, and they were making little scriptures available, books that tell about Jesus, as they call them in many other countries. And this fellow took one of our books, and he read it, and he read, and he read, and he accepts Christ as a Savior. Then he takes a job as a mining engineer there in Peru, and he didn't know one other Christian, the village where he's living. So he put a sign above the door, give free Bible lessons. Nobody came. And then one day it was a pouring down rainstorm. And during that rain, he saw water was seeping into his house, coming down. Then soon the floor, ground floor, I guess, was covered with water. And he caught himself bailing out the water by the bucket full. And while he was doing that, an old shaggy looking dog came running into his house and picked up this little book. And he thought, I need that book. So he takes off running after the dog, goes down the road, and of all places for that dog to go to, runs into a noted witch doctor's house. He thought, I can't go in there, I'll be cursed. So he turned around and went back home. Of course, didn't have his Bible. And a month or so later, knock comes to the door. Do you still give free Bible lessons? That's the reason I asked Pastor Lynn that question. And he said, yes. Well, he said, I have to tell you, the strangest thing happened. Here the other week, in a pouring down rainstorm, an old ugly dog came running into my house and dropped off this book. I've been reading about this Jesus. Can you tell me more about Jesus? Well, that day, the witch doctor accepted Christ as a Savior, and over a period of days, weeks, the witch doctor brought other members of the family over, and they accepted Christ. One day he brought his niece over, and the niece accepted Christ, and today the witch doctor's niece and the mining engineer are husband and wife, and he's serving as a pastor there in Peru, and they're winning many to the Lord Jesus. Now, Rufus could tell you, and maybe some other Gideons here, Pastor Lynn probably knows enough about the Gideons, that we have given areas where we hand out these testaments, and one of them isn't to give it to a dog. But Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word does not return unto him void. It is a privilege for us to be with you here tonight, and this is going to be a little bit different this evening. And actually, Pastor Lynn mentioned about me being here speaking for the Gideons before. I don't think I was. I met him here at the church on several occasions with what we call church relations days. But I myself never spoke in this church here before. So, but I know there's a family by the name of Morris here that heard me a few times at pastor's appreciation banquets in the Huntington area, I think. And I'm surprised they didn't walk out when they saw me coming in, but they didn't. And we do have another couple with us tonight. Actually, we're headed over to Erie. And there's going to be what we call a scripture blitz occurring. We're going to try to re-Bible a lot of motels, get into a lot of schools, and so forth. And I don't want to steal what Rufus might be sharing here, but I'm going to call upon him to share for a few minutes. He'll be sharing a testimony or two. And when he's finished, though, you can't leave. You have to listen to me a little more here. So just want to warn you about that, but we'll get you out here in a timely manner. And Rufus, I think I'm going to give this to you.
To do this. Anybody hear me? We are distributing God's word at the rate of 1 million copies every 4 days, 16 and a half hours. That is almost 2.5 copies per second. Can you believe it? We are printing the word in more than 90 different languages, and it's going out into more than 190 different countries. Full Bibles are placed into motels, airlines, cruise ships, and our wives' auxiliary members place them in the waiting rooms of dentists and physician offices. Large print Bibles go to hospitals and convalescent homes. Small Testaments go to school children, fifth grade on up, college students, military, emergency personnel, such as EMT, police, and firefighters. We are members of the local church where God's word is being preached. And our purpose is the same as yours, to win others to the Lord, to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was blessed recently to have a born-again Gideon speaker at my house. His name was Bob Gilbaugh. That book changed my life. Bob Gilbaugh had two sons who accepted Christ, and this had him very upset. Even though he used to permit them to go to church and other religious activities. He had a job as an engineer working for DuPont. To the world, it appeared he had everything that a person would want, but his life was miserable because his two sons could not forget this Jesus that they had accepted in their heart. His wife, Pat, first agreed with him, but started to side with her sons. One day he told his wife that he was checking out. She thought that he was getting a divorce, but he had something else in mind. He checked in a motel that night with a loaded gun, planning on ending his life. Just before pulling the trigger, he noticed an open green Bible on the TV. He decided to read a little before ending his life. You guessed it. He became so involved in reading, he prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. Today, he and his wife are actively involved in a local church and his family members in church ministry. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and make a child of God? Hopeless case. At the age of 12, I was introduced to marijuana. When I was 17, I was expelled from school and shortly thereafter arrested and convicted for drug possession. I continued on down the wrong road as a member of a street gang, and I began using as many amphetamines as I could get my hands on. One night while staying at the Chalet Inn in Hartford, Connecticut, I thought I was dying from a dose of bad drugs. I decided to read the Gideon Bible on the nightstand. There was a notation on the inside of the cover that said, "Read John 14. In John 14:9, Jesus asked, "Have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip?" I realized that God wanted me to make a choice between him and Satan, and I decided to accept Jesus Christ's offer of salvation. This experience instantly convinced me to change my life. I flushed my reserve supply of amphetamine. I took off my gang jacket, and I never worried again. I left my old friends. I got my first real job a few days later, and I have been an honest citizen since. I joined a Bible-believing church in 1980. I went to Bible college and taught the Bible in Connecticut prisons. In 1995, I helped start an Inner Circle City Outreach, a Christian nonprofit organization designed to help children stay out of trouble. And I became the president in 1999. I was a hopeless case that night at the Chalet Inn. I hurt everyone who ever loved me. I was a modern-day outlaw. But God reached down from heaven and set me free. To God be the glory for the great things. Thank you, Jesus.
my next few comments are not part of a Gideon presentation. So I just want to mention Rufus and Lydia, and talking, you're the one I talked to on the phone last Saturday, so helpful. We could go yesterday. This was all arranged. Lynn wasn't around, but his wife and I, we talked about things, and I got these phone calls, and just I got a lot of messages, but we weren't able to communicate too well. But Rufus and Lydia were in the Amish culture just several years ago, and I can tell you about being with them when they were shunned, when we would take them shopping, and we would they would put things in our carts, and they'd give my wife the money. They probably didn't trust me, but they gave it to my wife, and she would pay for things when we went out. They couldn't turn down the Englishers, but they wouldn't be selling to them. And they were told when they accepted Christ, you remain in that culture. That's your mission field. And they worked there in that area for, I'd say, 2-3 years or so, and then left the Amish culture 2-3 years ago, and became Gideons about a year ago, roughly, and qualify as a church speaker here about 2 or 3 months ago, and just a precious couple. And knowing that you have some people in that culture in this area, you may want to talk to them afterwards. So we're really privileged to have them with us. Okay, we get back to the Gideon item now. I think it would be appropriate to talk a little bit about what's in this book. And sometimes I read from Psalms 119. Would you want me to read the entire chapter of Psalms 119 here tonight? Maybe we'd have to go beyond 8 o'clock then. But it's neat the way you have that divided into 8 segment verses. I don't think I'm going to do that. We're going to give a verse to you before we have a short prayer. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this privilege that we have to be here this evening. We're thankful for the safety that you grant us in arriving here. And we're thankful for these people that come out to this church building on a Sunday night. We do believe that they love you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, may they be encouraged, knowing that when they're working for you, their work is not in vain. And Lord, if there's that one here tonight that doesn't know the Jesus of this book, the Jesus that the witch doctor didn't know about, that Jesus is for them. And Lord, may they go to the pastor or someone leadership here afterwards and express their desire to know the Jesus of this book. And Lord, we ourselves are incapable to be behind the sacred desk. We need your help. Just give us the words, give us the testimonies that you'd want us to share. And we'll thank you for the way you'll care and provide. Your name we pray. Amen. Rufus gave you more or less what we typically share when we come into a church where we hand out scriptures and so forth. That's what happened out in Wisconsin, a particular Sunday morning. And after the presentation was over, another Gideon comes up to the person that did the speaking and said, you didn't mention anything about the prison ministry. And as it turned out, this person was going to Fort Wayne prison. He'd go there every Saturday morning for 25 years, he said. And you know, the Gideons take a low-key approach. You don't see signs along Interstate 79 or whatever major routes you have here. We were just the other day on, I guess, north of you is 14 or 90. You have 90 close by here. But you don't see signs there. Become a Gideon only costs $40, good investment. Or the Gideons hand out 1 million copies of God's Word in 5 days' time. You don't see signs of that nature. But we come to churches such as we are here, sharing what we're doing. And what we do with this Bible when we take it out of the motel, and we'll be doing this some in the Erie area here over the next few days, it becomes damaged, and when it does, we pull it out, but we don't discard it. We give it a life sentence. We place it in prison. So Bill Emmerich was sharing how he went to this Fort Wayne prison one Saturday morning, and he gave these life sentences to the inmates, and then he preached the help in time of need section, gave those verses, preached for about an hour, gave an invitation, there was no response, and Bill Emmerich's heading home. Well, he didn't get out the door, though, and the sheriff said, no, come back and speak a little longer. Evidently, the sheriff was running to be reelected for office, and Bill Emmerich had agreed to have his picture taken with the sheriff there that morning, which technically a Gideon shouldn't be doing, but he had agreed to it, but it didn't happen, as it turned out. But anyhow, he comes back, and he speaks for that second hour, this help in time of need section, gives an invitation about 10 o'clock. There's no response. So Bill's headed home, and sheriff said, no, speak a little longer. I'll call him. The photographer will be coming. Now, keep in mind, he had a captive audience. They couldn't walk out in him. If I speak too long, you can walk out and meet here tonight, I'm sure. But he spoke for the third hour. Help in time of need section, Gospel of John, gave an invitation about 11 o'clock. No response. So he's basically out the door this time. And the sheriff said, please, speak a little longer. It's still morning. So he came back and spoke for that fourth hour. Key verses from here, help in time of need section. 12 noon comes, he gives an invitation. Nobody responds. So he goes home and tells his wife, I just wasted my entire morning at the Fort Wayne prison. Now, did he waste his entire morning? Do you ever feel as though you're wasting your time? Pastor Morris, be honest about it. Do you ever feel over the years that you wonder, my, am I doing any good? No, you don't have to respond to that. We could ask each person that. We can get involved. Maybe you're serving as a greeter. And someone snubs you, so my, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe you're helping a volunteer, cleaning the church or so, and someone deliberately messing things up. Maybe you're teaching vacation Bible school or Sunday school. Even though they have good Christian parents, youngsters can be a challenge sometimes. You wonder, am I doing any good? Maybe you're involved in the prison ministry. Someone says, oh, that's jailhouse religion. You're wasting your time there. Maybe you're going to the convalescent home. People nodding off and so forth wonder, am I really getting through to them? Maybe you're praying for someone for weeks, for months, for years. You wonder, is it doing any good? Now, Gloria and I live in Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania. And anyone know here where Mount Pleasant Mills is other than Rufus and Lydia? Okay. Have to talk to you afterwards. Well, Mount Pleasant Mills is in a little valley like, so we're not always in a mountaintop there. Maybe you're up high enough, you're always in a mountaintop spiritually up here too. But if you want to be honest, we have some challenges. And you heard what Bill Emmerich mentioned to his wife, even though I'm sure he knew better. He said, I just wasted my entire morning at the Fort Wayne prison. 16 years later, he's downtown Cleveland, Ohio, handing out gospel tracts at a street corner. And a person comes down the street, and he says, are you a Gideon? He must have seen this emblem. And Bill says, yes, I am. Why do you ask? Well, sheepishly, Len Schellenbacher talks to Bill. He says, you see, the Gideons have something to do with my salvation. You see, I was in prison. I was in the Fort Wayne, Indiana prison. And I couldn't tell you who he was, but there was a Gideon there that morning, and he spoke for 4 solid hours. I'm sure Bill started paying close attention. Then Len Schellenbacher went on and said, when that Gideon left, he said, I took that Bible, and he said, those verses were just what I needed. And he said, I prayed. I accepted Christ my Savior. And when I was released from that prison, I led my wife to the Lord, a son, a daughter, a brother, and a sister, plus Len himself. Bill Emmerich found out 16 years later, after he told his wife he wasted his entire morning, that he impacted 6 lives. This brother was his preaching. That brother with his preaching. Those others of you involved in ministry. You aren't going to know the lives you've impacted many times till you get to heaven. It's great. When I was in Nigeria about 3 years ago now, it was great seeing people accept Christ right there in the spot. But it was just as important where we were handing out the scriptures and witnessing to others where they didn't do it right then. Knowing that it's a good chance it was going to happen later. But we're to do our part in ministry, whatever God has called us to. And Bill Emmerich, I don't think, ever told his wife again. He wasted his entire morning when he was working for the Lord after he found. And like I said, we won't know the impact the scriptures we have. We're handing out till we get to heaven. But 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you forget everything else I share tonight, remember 1 Corinthians 15:58, that you're working for the Lord, it's not in vain. Let me take you to the country of Albania. Privileged to be there in 2002. Country 70% Muslim. And I'm sharing this testimony to leave you know just how your church ties in with the Gideon ministry. And I would say the Morrises probably heard me share this testimony at a pastor's banquet in Huntington County. But I'm going to share it again because it just gives you an idea how your church ties in with this ministry. What's different in Albania, I spend time, they have 7 groups of Gideons there in Albania. In Pennsylvania, we have 123. Rufus is part of the Mifflin group. I'm part of the Snyder group. If I'd be living up here right in this area, it's even though it's Erie County, it's part of what we call the Crawford East group. And we have 123 of these. But the Gideons living here have cars. There where I was in Albania, I know for a fact in 4 of the 7, none of the Gideons had an automobile. But they still had Bibles. What happened? A Gideon was here, and he spoke. And someone thought, my, I'm going to give $124. Cost us $1.24 to place one of these testaments. $124 to provide 100 of these. $248 to provide 200. So someone in the offering decided they were going to give for testaments. And those testaments are shipped over there. They said it's just one church. We spend most of our time in Toronto. North of Toronto, the capital, they said it was one church where the Bible was being preached in the community. There were enough men and women in that church interested in forming a group of Gideon. So that was one of the groups. So they didn't have cars, but the Bibles were sent over from a church like this through their gifts to the Gideons. That local church took up an offering to pay for the bus fare to send those Gideons out to hand out testaments. They came to this one school. Small girl there, 12-year-old. She said, "I'm a visitor. Can I still have a copy?" They told her she could. She took that copy. She read, and she read, and she read. And eventually, she comes to the back, and she's signing that she's accepting Christ as her Savior. Now, what should we do when we accept Christ? Be quiet about it or tell others? Tell others. So she's at her home school telling four of her good friends what she did. And they said, "Well, give us a copy." Well, no, she couldn't. She only had the one copy. Then after much pleading, she carefully takes the book of Matthew and tears it out and gives it to this person. Book of Mark to this person. Book of Luke to this person. And the book of John to this person. Said, "You take it and read it." And in 2 weeks, exchange. You know what happened after 2 months, or I wouldn't be sharing this. Four other young people accepted Christ. $1.24 changed five lives. Then the next year, the Gideon speaker's here. They talk about these cards that we have available. And you have a display out here. And I'm going to encourage you ladies to pick up some of these when you leave. If I would have been here a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have shared this in this manner. But a pastor pulled me alongside, said, "You share with the people when you make your presentation worship service, just like you did with a few here in Sunday school this morning." And I've been doing that. And I mentioned these cards. How many of you used one of these cards anytime? I thought the Morrises would probably raise their hand there. Okay. And somewhat, maybe he lived, did you live in Snyder County at one time? Yeah. Your uncle did, okay. I kid with people that we aren't as educated in Snyder County, and we have to go through this in detail. So I'll assume that someone has some ties with Snyder County, and we'll try to explain this to you. My wife and I would go to Gideon meetings probably for about 2 years there. We became Gideons in 1988, and we didn't understand this card program. It went in one ear and out the other when they talk about it. And then I had an aunt who was teaching Sunday school class down Exeter Bible Church, just outside of Reading, for a number of years. And we decided we were going to give Aunt Sadie a card. We listed, in recognition of teaching Sunday school class faithfully for many years, and we listed for five Gideon Recognition Bibles provided by Bob and Gloria Apple. And then we put a check in here for $25. It cost us $5 to place a Bible in a motel. So for five Bibles, we placed a check in here, send that off, and went to this little get-together for Aunt Sadie. And this card was inside the envelope here. And now, I listed what I stated there. But you ladies have a special way with cards. And Gloria wrote a nice note here, how we appreciated Aunt Sadie. And when they were reading, she was reading what gifts she got in the cards and so forth in connection with it. She became emotional. She couldn't finish reading what was here in the card. The end of the little program, she came back to talk to us. And she just thanked us so much for this card. She said, "You know, we're moving the convalescent home at Quarryville." She said, "We got all these nice doodads and whatnots, but we have to get rid of things. To think that you gave money for Bibles, for me teaching Sunday school class, means so much to me." You know, several months later, we're down that way, and Gloria stayed with the lady in the household, and I went with Ray, and we went to see Aunt Sadie and Uncle John there at Quarryville. Within 5 minutes, Aunt Sadie is thanking us for giving this card to her. I told Gloria, I said, "We have to use that program more often." Now, this fellow can relate to this. He knows where Mount Pleasant Mills is, and you probably know where Middleburg is. And I worked in Middleburg, and I lived in Mount Pleasant Mills. And what's in between there? A little bit of a mountain, just the end of Shade Mountain. Right. Just a small mountain, but I didn't change from summer tread to winter tread soon enough. I get stuck in the mountain. So this is November, and an early snow came. It came too early, or I didn't change my tire soon enough, one or the other. And I get stuck. I'm sure some people were happy I was stuck in the mountain, but one young man comes by. He said, "Bob, you need help." "Yes, we'll jump in. I'll pull you out." And I went to give him $10 or $20, and he wouldn't take anything. I thought, I'm going to use this card program again. Second time, used it, listed. I have the thinking of you here. I really wanted the in recognition, but they're basically the same. And mentioned that in recognition of pulling me out of the ditch, November whatever the date was, 1990, I know to make it for three Getting Recognition Bibles provided by Bob Apple. No note over here. Gloria wasn't involved at all. But send this off to a young man named Lonnie and send my $15 in this envelope to the Gideons. We know what happened several weeks later. Lonnie comes to me at work. He said, Bob, he said, I told you wouldn't take anything for pulling out of the ditch there in the mountain, but you gave money for Bibles. And Lonnie was raised in a good Christian home. But at that time, he had two or three teenage youngsters, and he wasn't living the life he should have been. And I was really able to witness to him through this card that was given. Now, since that time, my wife and I don't purchase a lot of cards. We find a way to use these cards. Someone's facing surgery in the hospital, we use the Thinking of You card. It doesn't say $3.99 or $4.99 in the back. The cards are free, but we encourage your donation for one or more motel Bibles. $5 for one Bible, $10 for two, and so forth. And three people are blessed. So I give it to you, you're blessed, you thank me, I'm blessed. Most of all, someone's getting a copy of the scripture that perhaps wouldn't have one otherwise. So the Thinking of You card, and obviously someone you didn't see for a while, someone that you're praying for, great way to use it. In memory card, I think that's pretty well self-explanatory. I have a father and mother that became Gideons about the same time as what we did back in the late 80s. My father passed away in May of 2010, but his life is living on. More than 680 Bibles were given in memory of his life. And those Bibles are changing lives. We shared, even if a dog gets his teeth on it, that can change a life. And then my favorite card we just talked about is the In Recognition card. 50th wedding anniversary. Some of you are getting close to being my age. You get invited to a number of 50th wedding anniversaries. You don't know what to get the people. They do need something. You don't know what it is. Think about giving one of these cards. $10 places two Bibles. They'll really appreciate that. You know something? This is October. What's October? Again? Okay. But it's something... That's what I wanted to hear. Pastor Appreciation Month. You got two pastors here tonight. Maybe more. But this is Pastor Lynn's church. Think of, if you appreciate his messages, appreciate his leadership, consider giving one of these in recognition of faithful sermons from Sunday to Sunday, whatever the situation might be. He didn't pay me to say this, but he would appreciate it if you give Bibles in his honor, I'm sure. Now, don't give him an in-memory card, please. But what I'm saying, these are available. Graduations, birthdays. My wife and I even use them occasionally for the Father's Day and the Mother's Day and so forth. And you can use them, and Bibles are going out as a result. And I know you ladies have cards that you have in packets at home. You have that card drawer. I'm going to encourage you to take one of the different designs with you when you leave here, and you'll use it much quicker. And we'll restack the cards that are here at the church. So I'd encourage you ladies to take one of these when you leave. Okay, talking about those cards, let's go back to Albania. That local group of Gideons there, north of Tirana, the capital, they again got Bibles because of people using those cards, giving in memory of someone that passed away, in honor of 50th wedding anniversaries, Pastor's Appreciation Month, and so forth. They had Bibles over there. And the Gideons save up some money. The church takes an offering again to send them out further. And they go out much further to hand out scriptures. And here, the one school they came to was one of them those five girls was part of. And when the Gideon's going in, a girl comes running up to him and said, "You mean I'll get my own copy? You mean each of my friends will get a copy?" Now think about that. Gideon couldn't afford a car. It was very poor. Because of you using the card program here, that Gideon could tell that girl, yes, you'll get your own copy. Yes, each of your friends will get a copy. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and make a child of God? Democratic Republic of Congo, one of the poorer countries that we're into. There, a pastor was asked if a Gideon could come and speak at his church. And the pastor laughed at the Gideon. I don't know if Pastor Morris or Pastor Lynn here. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. Or I like the name Rufus too, but your name I don't care for. It's too long. I can't remember that one. But I don't know if you people ever laughed at the Gideons or not when they asked for a presentation, but this Pastor Gleasy over in Zaire, it was at that time, now it's Democratic Republic of Congo, he was asked by the Gideon if they could have a speaker come in. Well, he laughs at him. And Gideon said, "Why are you laughing at me?" Well, he said, "You don't understand. I'm a product of your ministry." He said, "When I was serving as a medical doctor for the football team, that part of the world, it would have been the athletic trainer for the soccer team." He said, "We went over to Madagascar," and he said, "When they weren't scrimmaging and playing games," he said, "I saw this book for the first time." He said, "I was reading it." He said, "It was so neat, that help in time and need section at the front." And he said, when we went back to Zaire, he said, "I stole your Bible." Now, I don't agree with stealing anything, but if you have to steal something, this is the best thing to steal. So, through reading this, he accepts Christ as a Savior. And then he's called into the ministry. And he said, "Now I'm pastoring a church of 1,000-plus people, and you asked if a Gideon can come and share? Of course he can come and share. You asked if we're going to take an offering? Of course we're going to, but remember, it would be very small because my people are very poor." But he said, "It only took one Bible to change my life." And he said, "I've been able to impact many lives." I shared that testimony in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, and a fellow named John came up to me, and now that John happens to be a full-time missionary. At that time, he was a very young Gideon, but he mentioned to me, he said, "Let me tell you about my experience in Madagascar." He said, "I always depend upon the Gideons have a Bible in the motel." And he said, "I'm over there in Madagascar." He said, "Sure enough, a Bible's laying open." He said, "I went to pick it up to take it back to my bed to have devotions." And he said, "I couldn't lift it." And he checked, here it was a spike in the front cover and a spike in the back cover. So I went down to the front desk and inquired. And they said, "We get tired of people taking that book, so we just spiked them all down." So not everyone takes our Bibles. But you know, you can witness in connection with. In fact, I can tell you, this very motel that we're staying in tonight in Erie, we stopped at about 10 years ago, I would say. And as Gideons, and I think as Christians, you probably check if it's a Bible in the room when you stop in a motel. And I hope you find it's there most of the time. And when it's there, I'd encourage you to thank them at the front desk that there's a Bible in the room. If it's not one there, I'd tell them you're disappointed that it's not one in the room. Don't be too critical. Maybe someone stole it the night before. But what happened over here in Erie? There was a dollar bill sticking out of the Bible. I said to Gloria, I said, "This is different." And then checked. Here was a note. They said, "If you need this dollar, take it. But you probably need Jesus more." And they told you what verses to read to accept Christ as your Savior. Now, an independent study showed that 24% of the people who stop in a motel read at least one verse of the Bible. I think it'd be a dollar bill sticking out with a note like that. More than 24% would read one verse or more. But you don't sign a contract that you leave it in the drawer. And that encourages you not to take it unless you desperately need it. But you could leave it laying open to some favorite verses or so. I think more than 24% would read it. But I shared in Mount Pleasant Mills, just a church about 2 miles from where I live, a lady came up to me afterwards. She said, "Don't you place Bibles in all the motels?" Well, I mentioned we try to and so forth. She mentioned about this one along Benner Pike between State College and Bellefonte, where they stayed and there wasn't a Bible there. And I stopped several months later. And here this Bible was run by people from India, which many of them are now. And I inquired as to why I was there. And he said, "Well, we do have Bibles here." He had a big box there he had Bibles in, but he didn't have them in the rooms. And he said, "All they have to do is come down and ask." Well, I said, "Not everyone's as bold as what I am." To make a long story short, before I left there, he sent his son around to place Bibles in all those rooms because he didn't want to lose business. So if it's not a Bible in the room when you stop at a motel, you even know you're disappointed. It's a good chance that they just aren't putting them out, that they have some available. So and that will help us in going around the next time when we check. How many Bibles are we handing out? Did you tell them that, Rufus? I forget what you shared there. How many of you remember how many we're handing out? Okay. See, I'm grading Rufus after this, so I can. He got his point across there. That's amazing to me that basically every 4 days and 15 hours, 1 million copies going out, 93 different languages. And you know, I was a Gideon for probably 2, 3, 4 years, and I'm thinking, why don't we hand out all the Bibles overseas? They really need God's Word. Everyone has a copy of God's Word in my little Snyder County. And some of you probably think everybody has a copy of God's Word here in the Corey area. But you know, through our Next of Kin program, an 81-year-young lady lost her husband, and she was given one of these Bibles. Tears in her eyes, she accepted it. She said she never had a copy of God's Word before. Now, surely, she had the means that she could have obtained one, but probably wasn't interested. But she happened to be given this at a key time in her life, shortly after she lost her husband. And we make Bibles available. I can tell you about being at Penn State University, and Rufus was there too, just about 2 weeks ago, September 21st. And there, about 6 years ago at the main gate, a young man came up to a Gideon, and he wanted to give him $10 or $20, and that was $20 or $50, actually. I think it was $50, and the Gideon said, no, I'm not here to take money, and so forth. But then they agreed to meet at 10:30 or so, and the young man said, the reason I want to give you something, he said, 2 years ago, I don't know if it was you or not, but that very place where you were standing, I took one of those books. I had no intention of reading it. But he said, it changed. And I got involved with reading that, and he said, I accepted Christ. And then he was president of the InterVarsity Club, or some Christian group anyhow. And he said, I want to make sure there's money available to have other Bibles, and you keep handing those Bibles out. So let me take you out to Wisconsin. There, two young men were raised in the church. And there's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think you know what I'm referring to. Those boys would come to church. They were identical twins, but they weren't about to heed what the pastor was saying. Age of 12, they kept coming. Age of 16, they told their mother they were devout atheists. The mother said, I'm not going to argue with you boys anymore, but you can't stop me from praying for you. The power of a mother's prayers. Mother prayed for those boys. They graduated from high school. They were intelligent kids. They enrolled University of Wisconsin at Madison, which is a land grant, same as Penn State is here in Pennsylvania. And fall morning, Kevin gets off the bus there at the college, and it happened to be the Sunday the Gideons were there. If Kevin were here and I was with him and several pastors' appreciation banquet programs, I don't think he was there at Huntington any time. You wouldn't have heard Kevin, but excellent testimony. He'll share how you get off the bus, cold, dreary morning. There was a man with an umbrella, top coat, a box by his side. I know these aren't green, but handing out green testaments. Walks down the first one, said, this is a free book. This is for you, son. And he blasted into him. This was the devout atheist that was raised in the church, heard a lot of messages. He blasted into the Gideon. He goes a little further. Free book for you, young man. And he blasted into him. Then he looked up. If he were here, he'd say, every 50 yards, as far as the eye could see, were one of these men. And he was already upset, confronted two of them. So he gets to the third one. Okay, thank you, I'll take one. He puts it in his pocket, then he's walking. Well, this won't do any good. They won't know I have it. So he gets it out and said he'd act as though he's reading it. Act. Beginning of Matthew, the begats. First chapter, not too exciting, but gets about halfway through the Christmas story. If he were here, he'd say, I heard it many times, but I never read it before. And he becomes engrossed in reading. Must have been the second class in the morning, and the class was in session. So he sat in the hallway till they left. He became engrossed in reading. He skipped his class. Must have been like a Tuesday or Thursday schedule, only one class. He went from there to the library, continued reading. About 2:30 in the afternoon, they were close enough, they were commuting. He gets on the bus to go back home. He'd read through the Gospels, the epistles, and about 10:30 at night, he gets to the back. God loves you, gives you John 3:16, Romans 5:8, all are sinners. Romans 3:10, 3:23, God's remedy for sin, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, John 1:12, all may be saved now, Revelation 3:20. And then it goes on, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. It goes on, seeking a church and assurance as a believer verses. And Kevin Gillespie there had read how this person got healed. They told someone. This person got saved. They told someone. And he decided he wanted to get saved. And he signed his name that he was accepting Christ as a Savior. And then he thought, I have to tell someone. I'll go tell this other devout atheist, his identical twin brother, who was also a student there. And he goes to Keith's room. This is about 11:30 or so at night. Sees his light underneath the door, knocks on the door, and Keith says, come in. To Kevin's amazement, there was Keith on his knees by his bedside. And he says to Kevin, Rufus, forgive me, and any other Gideons are here. He said, you remember those old men that were at the college today? He said, I took one of those books, and I just read it, and I just accepted Christ as my Savior. And Kevin said, that's what I did, and that's what I came to tell you. Now think about this. These young men were raised in a church, probably heard the gospel message being preached a number of times, probably had a number of Bibles available to them. But some church provided the funds. A Gideon, in inclement weather, and took verbal abuse, handed out the scripture, a mother was praying and the Holy Spirit working, and today Kevin Gillespie is a hospital chaplain, Champaign, Illinois. His identical twin brother, Keith, is an elementary teacher and leader of his church youth group. If people need a copy of God's Word here in the United States of America, isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God, make a child of God? How can you help? Keep on doing what you are. Have us here on an annual basis. Pray for us. And you know you could have a sign out front that you're supporting missionaries in 194 countries. Because having us here on an annual basis and praying for us, that's what you're doing. Supporting missionaries in 194 countries. If I were to ask the pastor what the purpose of this church is, I think he'd tell me to win others, men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. And you, brother, that know where Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania is, if you'd ask me the purpose of the Gideons, I'd say to win others, men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. But I'm not a member of this church. Right here in Corry, Pennsylvania. Maybe I would be if I live up this way. But you see the point I'm trying to make? Our purpose is the same. To win others, men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. If you'd like to become involved with the Gideons, check with me afterwards. Give you some additional information. And I would encourage you ladies that are here. Pick up one of these cards from me. I'm not going to tell anyone to do anything because I was getting trouble in that in the car and so forth, become demanding. But if you ladies would like to, you could go to the back afterwards and share how you use the cards with these other ladies coming through. We'll try to make cards available to you when you're going out. And the pastor mentioned there's going to be an offering taken. I can honestly tell you that 100% of what you give when you use one of these cards or when you give in that offering goes for scriptures. And you might say, how can you tell us that? Rufus Peachy spoke up in the Renova area this morning. We're up here tonight, and we aren't pleading poverty by any means, but we don't get a penny for going out and traveling. We figure we're called into the ministry, but we're volunteers when it comes to pay. But the number of scriptures we hand out, the number of countries we're in, you can understand there would be a few salaried people. And we have about 115 people that are salaried that work at our office in Nashville, Tennessee. But the dues that we pay, Lydia pays 20 and Rufus pays 40, and the different Gideon couples throughout the world, that takes care of the overhead expenses, the salaries of those people. We get information in the mail. Our dues takes care of the postage and the printing expense for that. And we go to international conventions. And we see people from some of these poor countries. Maybe I'll close with one of those testimonies. And they're very poor, but yet they get to international convention at some of them because they take a little percentage of our dues to pay for the airfare, to bring them over here and so forth. So we can honestly tell you when you use this card program and when you give in the offering that 100% of it's going for Bibles. And in other countries, it costs us $1.24 to place a copy of God's Word. I could tell you when I was in Nigeria, that the average classroom size was 100. So $124 would provide for 100 of these testaments. You may want to provide for a classroom of testaments. I mentioned how one Bible changed five lives, $1.24. That's a pretty good investment. We'll close with this testimony. And Rufus, you met him at Charlotte this year. Rufus and Lydia came down and joined us at Charlotte for the last day or two. They followed from Burkina Faso. I met this young man in 1999, as I recall. And he was a government school teacher. In other words, the public schools they call government schools there. And a country that's over 95% Muslim, as I recall. And he said, I couldn't witness because of the government school. So he started his own school. And within a few weeks or a few months, he heard about the Gideons. He became a Gideon. And then he got some testaments. And this became their textbook. Now, 95% Muslims, the school became known for good academics and good discipline. But Muslim children were attending. And what happens if someone reads this book? Whether it's someone from Corry, Pennsylvania, or a Muslim in Burkina Faso, this book's different. There's a Jesus in this book that can change a life. So a Muslim child gets saved and they go home. They're upset. They tell him what happened. They come in. They come to the principal. And they meet Matthias. And Matthias takes a lot of time. The first youngster that got saved took the parents and he led them to the Lord. They accepted Christ. He made a very intelligent decision. He put him on staff as a receptionist. So the next child accepts Christ. And they come in, the parents come in, and they meet this couple that's a receptionist. We were upset the same way. This is what we did. And they lead them to the Lord. The time I met Matthias the first time, he had one school of 700. We emailed one another and so forth, and then dropped by the wayside. About 6 years later, international convention, and it's not a hosting time. It's a given time to have hosting, but this was Saturday noon. I get a tap on the shoulder. Here's Matthew. He said, Brother Apple, can we have lunch together? He wanted me to buy him lunch for one thing, but secondly, he wanted to explain what had happened. Instead of having one school of 700, he now had three schools of 900. The number one textbook is this book that tells about Jesus. See the impact you're having in lives around the world? It was a privilege for me, Rufus and Lydia and Gloria and I to be with you tonight. We'll try to be at the back that we can answer any questions you might have. And I encourage you ladies to pick up a card. And if you feel led to give to the ministry, praying for the ministry is number one. Of course, you know that dollars can be converted into Bibles and Bibles converted into souls. I'd like to leave you with one verse, and I think you know what it is. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Rufus, God bless you. Now's our opportunity to be able to share. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask for a couple of ushers to come, and the offering tonight is going to help in the ministry of the Gideons. But I would like to encourage any businessmen to really consider becoming a part of the Gideons organization. And it's a phenomenal organization and just really, really is a blessing in many ways. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll receive the offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have had here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that the Gideons have, and for the fact that, Lord, they give of themselves and volunteer to go around and to share the wonderful news about what's happening through your word. And Father, you've promised us that your word will not return to you void, but as we give out the word, it will accomplish the purpose that you send it for. And so, Lord, tonight is our opportunity to try to help with this amazing ministry outreach. And so we ask that your Spirit now would bless the gift and the giver, that you'd sanctify both to your use and to your glory.